save big money on everything for your next bathroom project now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are firing off here on a wide open Wednesday, live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mellonax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is JC Sherbert, my co-host, coming loud and clear from the second city, Chicago, Chi-Town, southeast suburbs of Chicago.
West.
South. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I got my.
There is no southeast.
There is no southeast suburbs. That's like, that's the lake.
Either Indiana or the lake, bro. Yeah.
South Chicago.
Good to be here today. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. Wide open Wednesday, of course. Chat box is wide open, typically reserved for Club Chief members. But today, everybody hops in. So come on in and let your voice be heard. Good to see everybody in the. It's been a lively debate in the chat box today.
What have we been talking about?
Oh, it's been some baseball and football talk, a little bit of basketball. The morning show was all over the place today because they did a scramble with Blake Cooper not able to attend, getting caught up with some work. So JB and Rob just held it down. Had some Greenville stories about
guests. It was just those guys.
Right? Yeah. It was just the two of them holding it down today.
Basketball tournament. You said textile tournament in Greenville back in the day.
So yes, there was one. You said basketball and baseball out there to the old textile hall has been replaced now by the. Oh gosh, I don't even know what they call it anymore.
Palmetto Expo Center.
It's not Palmetto Expo Center anymore. They've changed the name since. I think it's like the Greenville Convention Center or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the Palmetto Expo used to be the way it is. But
I remember college baseball wise when they were. It's a dog park and a little league park now, where the Greenville Braves used to have their stadium near Donaldson. They used to have the ACC baseball tournament there for years. Clemson, of course, had a decided advantage in that one. But, back in the day, Greenville had some good stuff. Furman played their home games at the Memorial Auditorium. I've been to concerts there. We all remember that. Now they have the Bon Secours Wellness Arena, which is a mouthful. I liked it better when it was called the Bilo Center. But Bilo is not even a thing anymore, is it?
Nope. Bilo no longer exists.
Dude, Bilo was like a staple of the whole state, dude.
I know.
It was like Bilo was the bomb.
Yeah, they were everywhere from
Germans. Germans bought it. They're going to kill it.
Yeah, that's it.
There's going to be no more Bilo.
No.
Nine.
Probably a shadow corporation for Aldi and Lidl.
Probably so. This is Aldi now. This is not the Bilo. But then I take the cow off the sign. Hey.
That's when it all started. Yeah. The decline of Bilo when they started taking the cows down.
Krieger mentions Jared Curtis. I chimed in on X when I retweeted the show. Chimes in on Jared Curtis. Jared Curtis is going to be better than Diego Pavia, maybe not next year, but a much better prospect. Yeah, I don't even know if Jared Curtis is going to start. I got a lot of questions about him. Not that he doesn't have talent. And if you look at the way he plays at the high school level, he is kind of that scrambling, gunslinger, confident type of guy that Pavi is, except Jared Curtis is 6'4", 220. So he's good. Impact in year one, good. Don't know. Worth the money, good. Nah. For Vanderbilt, yeah. I mean, you keep him home, and that gives you a guy to build around him and build a chance. But I went with Vandy. The question was, what 10-win teams would take a step back? Just because Pavia meant so much to that team. I mean, and you're still in the SEC. I think they play NC State in the non-conference, too. NC State goes to Brazil, then they play Vandy. Great.
I mean,
And I'm not saying Vandy won't be good. I think they'll still have a good team. I think that they've recruited well, that they've got a good personnel guy leading the charge. They're going to be competitive. They're going to beat some teams they shouldn't. But that's an awful lot. You lose Pavia and the seniors that were on that team. It was an older team. I don't think it'd be a good year for the Gamecocks to play them again, just to be honest. But, you know, that would be the one I would circle. You know, Alabama would also be in that conversation for me. I know Rob's a little bullish on Alabama. I just have some questions. And every year it seems to get a little worse. Okay. Every year it seems to get a little worse.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know what's going to happen. Who else won 10 last year? Was it Texas won 10?
Ole Miss, Texas, Georgia.
I think with Chambliss coming back, Ole Miss has a chance to be in the hunt again. They got LSU and Oxford early. That's going to be That's going to be interesting. That's going to be a lot of emotions in that game, I would think. A lot of emotions, Phil.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
For that one.
A&M.
Oklahoma, most people Oklahoma, think they're going to be good. Texas A&M definitely could take a step back. Yeah, so in order, I'd probably go Vandy, Auburn. I mean, sorry, Bammy. Vandy, Bama, A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. And then I think Georgia and Texas will be 10-win-plus teams.
Yeah.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It is Wide Open Wednesday on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. And that's why I mentioned Craig's comment about Jared Curtis in the chat box. But in time, will Jared Curtis be drafted and Diego Pavia wasn't? Yes. Will Jared Curtis lead Vanderbilt to 10 wins? I don't know. I don't know if that's something that's here to stay or if that's something that's not. I just, you know, I like Clark Lee, like Barton Simmons, love their team, love how they play. Pavia was the straw that stirs the drink. Pavia is the master of the kill zone. He meant an awful lot to their success and execution. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully. Yeah. Well, for their sake. I mean, they're off the schedule at least for next year. So,
I was going to say, specific to Vanderbilt, who will be competing with Curtis for the job? Anybody? Or is it just going to be his job to have right out the gate?
They got Whit Muschamp still there.
Oh, okay.
I think they've got whoever the backup was last season
is still
there.
They got
a kid from Mount Carmel in Chicago, Jack Elliott, I think is his name, and then Curtis. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't know that Curtis necessarily will start game one for them either.
Right.
But we'll see. I you know, the obviously his path to get on the field at Vanderbilt in year one was a lot clearer than the path to get on the field at Georgia. Because my understanding is Georgia likes their backup too. So,
yeah,
we'll see. Russell says, if God wanted me to breathe underwater, he would have given me gills. Talking about scuba diving. Jimmy chimes in, keep college sports in America. I'm mixed about it. I think if they want to do that, you know, the annual game in Dublin is a success. You have two teams that go do it. And, you know, I think eventually everybody's going to be playing on week zero anyway. So those games may go away, but no problem with the Dublin thing. But if you're sitting there trying to export it like the NFL does, I just don't know that you're going to be that successful. And it's like everybody's gotten that idea now. The other part of it is this. These international games pay you a significant amount of money.
True.
Like, yeah. It's more money than you can make on a home game. And because everybody needs money, you know, like, okay, we'll fly to China for $15 million. I would say that's a whole roster, but it's not. It's more like one side of the ball almost in some cases. So, anyway, Ethan's doing Australian quotes. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Let's put in any shrimp on the barbie. Jimmy goes, I'm keeping my fat butt on land. I don't fly, not going in the ocean. I drive where I go. I fly occasionally. Sometimes I prefer driving, though, just to be honest.
Yeah, I fly when I have to. Definitely prefer to drive, but I love the ocean.
flying. I'll get in the ocean. I mean, I don't want people to think I'll just sit up there and go, yeah, I'll get in the ocean. I don't want to get in the ocean.
Yeah, y'all go ahead. You just see.
But I'll get there. And the lake, you know, I'll swim in Lake Murray.
Yeah.
Obviously. Last time I went swimming in Lake Murray, gosh, it was 5 years ago. I went and I was in town for work, and I went out to where Wild Bill Gunner lives, and we got on his boat. I don't know. That was a tough day. I did swim in Lake Murray. The Lake Murray's a good lake to swim in, but yeah, it's interesting. Ethan says, well, I read that already. Quantrell, give me Lake Kiwi over any of those lakes. Yeah, I like Lake Kiwi.
Yeah, those are nice.
Mad Dog and I have I guess you'd call him a former acquaintance that his daddy had granddaddy.
Yeah, well,
daddy had a house up on Lake Kiwi, and it was beautiful. So Smith has chiming in. Good to hear from you, Smith. He said, I have water skied on the Black River in Williamsburg County. Ooh, you're a brave man, Smith.
Oh, brave man.
Brave man. Mm-hmm. Russell said there's actually very shallow lakes. Russell says he loves getting the newsletter. Yeah, this one this afternoon set up to go about 2:15. It's going to be pretty good. Now, again, I want to clarify on the newsletter. Again, you go to InsideTheGameCocks.com to sign up for free. It's only about 5% of what you're going to see on the site. So don't think when the site comes up, well, all they're going to do is put up what they put up in the newsletter every single day.
No,
that's not it. That's just a little taste, just a little appetizer.
That's right. An amuse-bouche, if you will.
Jimmy's gone full negative after we scared the crap out of him scuba diving and flying. Wilson's going to sweep us, he says. If they don't look, and this article Jamie wrote today is very eye-opening because it talks about the approach at the plate. If they don't tweak that, because at this point through two seasons with two different sets of players, it's how they're approaching it and the preferred, you know, and you know, because you look at 23 and 24 and then you look at 25 and 26, what changed? Well, a new head coach. And the head coach determines the philosophy, and he's been on the record as saying he doesn't like walks. Now, sometimes that could be facetious, but, you know, as was explained to me, when the strike zone shrinks with TrackMan and all that crap, you have to get on base. How many people have watched Moneyball, the movie? What is it? What are they talking about in the scouting meeting? What does he do? He gets on base.
Get on base. But it's very hard and highly improbable to have big innings based solely on solo home runs, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just completely.
Or to get up there and bang, bang, bang it to all corners of the field. Like,
yeah, hit double, 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 you know. I mean, it doesn't happen like that. I realize that players are stronger and more, you know, trained at younger ages to, you know, be power hitters. But I mean, hitting with guys on base typically provides bigger innings.
You got to get on. And here's the thing. Sometimes you swing at if the pitcher, you hear that phrase pitching to contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're throwing you balls, pitches that they want you to hit. They want you to hit them because they know they're going to come off the bat and go straight up in the air, go right to somebody. Sometimes those are out of the strike zone. You know, you could just take them and get on base. I don't know. I think that needs to change. And I think that some of the same types of struggles we saw last season, we see this season. And you know, like the batting average isn't that much different. And some of the stats aren't that much different. But and read the article, the runs scored per game way down. And that is directly in the big innings defined as three runs or more in an inning, way down. And the walks and hit by pitches way down through first part of this year and all of last season. And so the scoreboard is what matters.
The right? Stat
in all sports, right? And so you got to score runs, and to score runs, you got to get on base. And you can't, and when you get guys on base and you just hit it right at somebody, we sometimes walks again. Anyway, I'll read the article. I'm sure JB will talk about it tomorrow. So Jimmy follows that piece of sunshine up with how long before we let Lamont Paris go? And then Quantrell says, Jimmy living and dying with this basketball team is bad for your health. I don't know that they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, I that's think not that, a foregone conclusion here.
No, right? Now, I don't think it's been completely necessarily ruled out from what I've heard. But what was explained to me the other day was, you know, wins are important. Improve everything's important at this stage. And it certainly, I think if he had just lost out, and this was before Mississippi State, you know, there may be some you know, don't have a choice. Maybe they don't have a choice. I mean, so that's what I've heard locally. And here's what I think about that. That's fine. Number one, don't expect anybody to be excited about basketball next year, because even if you give him a bunch of money, people don't know, they know stats. So unless you get a bunch of guys with a bunch of stats that people can get fired up about, they're not going to be fired up about basketball next year. So don't expect anybody. Don't expect to set any season ticket records.
No,
next season. And then number two, you need to align with the program, and there needs to be more than just we'll up your NIL budget for a little bit. I mean, you need to make sure that there's a heavy investment on getting this right. You don't have to necessarily change coaches to do that, but you know, just from where I'm standing and sitting, and this would be the case even if they made a change, you're going to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, listening to Lamont post game last night, of course, the Gamecocks lost 72-63 to Kentucky. They certainly had their chances. By the way, Elijah Strong never needs to be 0-for-7 from 3-point lane. What? I mean, look, and credit him. He hit some really pretty shots when they were competitive. But about after the fourth one, he needs to quit shooting.
Yeah. But
And during a key moment, I think Carolina could have taken the lead. He jacked one up without any hesitation, and it was off. I mean, just you're 0-for-7, dude.
I mean, you know, bad night.
It's hard to be critical of him because he played, you know, he scored. And again, that's the object of the game. I thought Carolina played really good defense, holding Ota to 8. I mean, that guy doesn't just score 8. I mean, and I think his team's playing better defense. They're playing better, you know,
they
are playing better. But, you know, what does that mean? 15th? In the SEC right now.
Right, yeah, you're playing better.
So.
With how many games left?
Yeah, Ethan said, my guess is no change we made till after the SEC tournament and watch us make a run. Yeah, well, they don't. First of all, I don't know that they'll make a run. No, that'd be fine. I'd be there for it. I'd watch the games. But second, in basketball, the in-season change is rare. I think, too. You know, like last offseason, I don't remember if we had an in-season change or not in hoops, but everybody was kind of going up against what they thought would be that deadline for right. NIL. And so time was of the essence in many ways. That's why you saw, you know, Texas hired Sean Miller the day after they fired the other guy, Rodney Terry. Of course, Texas does that. That's what they did with Tom Herman. They fired Tom Herman, and Sark was the coach within 24 hours. But same thing with Schlossnagel.
I was thinking baseball too, man. They flipped that around.
It right around. That's just kind of what Texas does. But, you know, most of your openings are going to come following the conference tournaments, I would think. It's not like football. Football now, everybody's like, oh, 3 games, you suck, you're out. You know, the in-season firing is in vogue. And everybody has all these reasons why they do it, okay? Recruiting. Oh, recruiting. And the portal. And we have to get out in front and all this stuff. Penn State fired James Franklin emotionally after a loss to Northwestern at home. Their search went forever. They lost every single recruit that was committed to them. And then they had a good transfer portal class because Matt Campbell brought half his roster from Iowa State.
Right. Yeah.
And they made a very early change. You know, UCLA, did they benefit from – No, because their coach they ultimately hired was in the college football playoff.
No, I mean, yeah.
And I mean,
think about how long Virginia Tech was without a head coach before, you know.
Oh, Frank God, yeah.
There, you know, yeah.
Look, dude.
They pulled that trigger
early. He actually was available, so they could go ahead and get him going.
Right.
But you're not normally going to have a James Franklin sitting down there. So here's my thing about that. It's stupid. it's but it also, when you talk about the emotional ups and downs of a football season where none of us get any games, you know, right? There's only 12 a year. And so those are very important. There's a lot of tension and negativity. And sometimes when you just go ahead and fire the guy, the bubble burst. But I just wish people would say that, athletic directors would say that, rather than acting like it's some strategy, because not a damn one of them has a good strategy.
No.
I mean, the one that has the best strategies, Chris Del Conte at Texas, and he waits. He'll just leave a dude dangling. And just do your job, Tom. Oh, by the way, Tom, you're fired, and I'm hiring Sark. Boom.
Right.
I mean, that's how they roll, and I would consider those successful coaching searches. Anyway, I can't get over Penn State. Just, oh, man.
God, no.
So the answer on Lamont, I don't know if it's going to happen, when, if it does, if something did happen, it'll definitely come after the SEC tournament. That's the thing. Quantrell grew up on Winn-Dixie and Ingles as a kid. Ethan Bilo, Winn-Dixie, Piggly Wiggly, the grocery goats.
Yeah.
So Steven chiming in. If Bama loses 3 or 4 games, I believe DeBoer is gone. Could be. I don't know. I got some thoughts about that real quick. Alabama fans are mad at DeBoer because he's never going to be Nick Saban. The Alabama administration, though, and the folks close to that program have a different opinion about it.
I would hope so. Because DeBoer's not a bad football coach.
Yeah. Right. like if they were aligned with the Bama folks, they would, or the people on X, or the people that call Feinbaum. They would have let him go to Michigan. They'd have been like, hey, listen, yeah, about that buyout, you know, us, if you had to go to Michigan, we'll waive it for you.
Yeah, we'll work
we'll
with
waive
you.
It. We can work something out. We can work something out. Roll tide. Hey, Kalen. But I don't know. Sometimes all it takes is 2 or 3 boosters to come up and be like, hey, listen, you need to get him on out.
Oh, look, you know we ain't going to get no better than this.
Well, Paul, I tried. Anyway, all right, let's get a first break in here on the show on a wide open Wednesday. Got lots to get to. Got some talk about LSU Clemson first week of the season.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder about Clemson. You know, look at that Dave Bartow of College Football Matrix. He was on with Mad Dog and JB when I was out a couple of weeks ago. He's not high on the Chad Morris hire at all. Like he's just like not high on. He's just not having it. I don't know. I've got look, Clemson, they do things sometimes, and we Gamecock fans and folks like us that react media analyst wise, you know, the consensus in Gamecock country, I guess. When Clemson does something, many times there's laughter from the Midlands and beyond. And it blows up completely in Carolina's face. Even Dabo Swinney lost his first whatever games, 5 straight.
Right, the 5 straight. Right?
Ha, 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 ha. And then what happened? That worm turned, did it not?
How many of those would you trade for 2 national
championships? You know, it's like, oh, you're keeping Brad Brunell. well, Brad Brunell's about to go, I think. They don't need to keep losing the 3rd straight NCAA tournament. You know. So, I mean, oh, they're in the ACC. They don't have any money. Ha, 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 ha. You know. But sometimes when Clemson does something that maybe puts a little fear into Gamecock Nation, like the meltdown when they hired Garrett Riley, and then the false propaganda from Mark Ryan about that Beamer had lost Garrett Riley to Clemson, which was never true. Beamer didn't even talk to Garrett Riley about the job. Now, right or wrong, whatever. Remember, that was like, oh, God, Beamer just doesn't get it on offense. Whatever. Well, who got the best of that deal?
Yeah, right.
Billy Baldwin is not Alec Baldwin. That's the lesson to be learned there. Or maybe it was Dabo. Who knows? Who knows what was going on up there? But that strikes here. When Tommy Bowden was hired, he was the hottest young coach in the country, and he was a Bowden. Rich Rodriguez was offensive coordinator. Oh, my God. That'd be so dead. He ended up getting fired. So, I don't know. Sometimes that's just an interesting part of the rivalry when you kind of look and go, you know, the things that Carolina fans sometimes laugh at about Clemson. You know, ends up Clemson is making the right decision. And then sometimes when they do stuff that everybody in Carolina country thinks that, oh, my God, this is going to be tough now. It's not. It's just the opposite.
That's right.
You know, and I haven't polled their fan base enough to know what their reaction's been to, you know, any of the hires at Carolina or anything. But anyway, shop at Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, all over the world. Get your stuff. The Nike stuff is coming this summer. The Nike stuff is coming to Gamecock Traditions. So, and they're having some clearances on some of the older stuff. So get on that. I know the camo hats, they said the other day, were limited because of the changeover. GameGuideTraditions.com built and I'm really saying some mixed up words today.
It's okay.
I'm in a good mood, got good energy, glad to be here, you know, not slogging through it. And I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. But brick and mortar stores. Village at Sandhill out in Northeast Columbia. Also, Lexington, the great city of Lexington, South Carolina. That's GamecockTraditions.com. Proud sponsor of the show, the morning show, Chief Sports, all we do here. We certainly appreciate everything they do. And we'll be back with more interaction from the ITG chat box on a wide open Wednesday after this.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost five decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our four locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via GamecockTraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports! Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
And now, the show goes on.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here in hour one of a wide open Wednesday. Been hopping in the chat box here. Don't forget, head to insidethegamecocks.com to sign up for our free newsletter right now. Just a little sample of what is to come when we fire up the fully operational website here coming probably beginning of quarter two. So around April.
Ish. Maybe. No.
No.
No, not maybe not.
Okay,
maybe well, maybe not. We got a
TBD.
TBD. Early, late quarter one, early quarter two.
Okay,
how early is to be determined. So, haven't put a date on it. Fit. Well, don't want you to.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, push
it. Don't just like, jump over the fence, bad dogs. Come on now. So anyway. Roger chimes in from the metropolis of Woodruff in Spartanburg County. He says, my dad told me about his grandpa being a rural county policeman and keeping people from fishing off the bridge on Sunday at Barry's Pond in the 40s, different times. Yeah. Hey, y'all. Mm. How many times I got to tell y'all there's no fishing on Sunday at Barry's Pond?
No fishing. You got
this lady coming back from church, and she just dials the number. You know, get me, because he used to have to talk to the operator.
Right.
Get me 4532. Hoke. They're over there fishing at Barry's Pond again. I declare on the Son of the Lord's Day. Now it's like, well, then for a while they didn't want you to drink beer on the Lord's Day. Now you can do that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think during the no beer phase in Spartanburg County, they probably would love for you to go fishing.
Also. Yeah, why not go fishing? I mean, what else are you doing?
Something like that. But yeah, different times then for sure. Jeffrey says LSU Clemson should be interesting. They're gonna be hanging off the ceiling in Baton Rouge because it's Lane Kiffin's first game.
Oh yeah.
That's number one. Then number two, you know, Clemson's got a lot of questions. Like this past year was their year where they had a lot of knowns. You know, they still got players. My guess is some of their transfer portal guys are better than people think. But I don't know. I think for the first time in a long time, the Tigers are a bit of a mystery type of team. But they'll sit there and come up with a game plan all offseason and go in there. And I mean, with nothing to lose, Clemson will probably be a pretty – significant underdog, I would guess, in that one. So you never know. I mean, Clemson had their worst team prior to this past year under Dabo in 2010. Actually, that was his worst team. It was 6-7. They opened the season at Auburn, which won the national championship. Clemson was a drop pass away in overtime from winning the football game in the opener. So never underestimate the Clemson Tigers. We just all live that, right?
You never know.
Ben said they should have left DeBoer go to Michigan. It'll never be a fit in Tuscaloosa. I can buy into that. Like I said, there's a disconnect between the general Tide nation at large and the administration there. So NC State playing Virginia and Brazil kills Ben. I think it's hilarious. Marion says, do you know of any of the basketball players transfers that are making impact with their new teams this year? Not really. More Zugasuk's not doing well. Zach Davis got suspended. Nick Pringle's starting and playing for Arkansas. Yeah, Pringle doesn't probably score a whole bunch. That's probably the number one guy that's out there. You know, even like Eagle staff that they had committed and signed and lost to West Virginia, he's averaging like 9.5 points a game.
Yeah.
You know, kind of up and down. So Roger said, do you're old enough to remember Silver Lake? I was joining Barry's Pond and had a beach type public swimming pool. Yeah, I do. People talk about Silver Lake all the time when I grew up. Matt says, what last night shows you though is throwing $20 million at a roster doesn't guarantee success either. Basketball, the higher paid guys, there's all kinds of problems. Like, look at what's going on at Kansas. Now, Kansas fans don't care. They get, like, defensive about it. They're like, we're going to win. Oh, and the minute they lose in the NCAA tournament, which I think they will, the minute they don't win the national championship, they're going to go ballistic and throw Peterson completely under the bus.
Right.
It's hypocritical, man. Mm-hmm. Matt says if they'd had Miles Studi, they'd have had about 8 more missed threes, probably. Steven asked, not trying to be a Debbie Downer. You couldn't be a Debbie Downer, Steven. Nothing beats Debbie Downer, Steven, than the opening weekend of softball.
Right. I mean, listen,
we will never forget that as long as we live. And you've had your moment.
Expectations for us,
right? No matter what you say now, Steven, you are all good, brother.
It's all good.
Just keep it coming, man. Keep it coming. Will men's basketball ever be a consistent winner? We have winning seasons every once in a while, but can't keep the consistency. Yeah, that's the whoever gets this, the person, the coach is not going to get fired from this job. Okay. Is going to get the Gamecocks to the end. And all schools have coaches like this that kind of get it going. And then even if they leave, like the next guy ends up being a little better because it's been done. South Carolina's just never, I mean, it is. It's like a blip on the radar. Lose, lose, lose. Win, win, lose, lose. You know, they can't keep it. So the guy that does that, the guy that has like a, all right, so Oliver, since I've been talking Clemson today, Oliver Purnell, who was an absolute failure when he went left Clemson and went to DePaul. But before that, pretty good. So he takes the Clemson job from Larry Shyatt, right? And it's in bad shape. The ACC was really good the whole time he was there. Well, anyway, in a 3 NITs out of 4 years. Then he started recruiting and winning. So 3 straight NCAA tournaments. Well, that, you know, that helped. Frank Martin at Kansas State, 4 out of 5 years was in the big dance. And so Bruce Weber, who took over for him, and then Jerome Tang until he crashed and burned this year. So, that's a deal. As far as how you do it, you know, you got to have somebody in there to kind of get it going and do it consistently. And then, you know, you have to, these days you have to fund it and everything else. So sorry, I was distracted by something on my phone, but you know, you gotta keep winning. Back-to-back years. Tennessee, when they've had good coaches through the years, Bruce Pearl, Jerry Green, really good for a while. Then they kind of went through the wilderness. Buzz Peterson was a bad hire. The dude from Southern Miss lasted 1 year. Juanzo Martin left, you know. But Rick Barnes, he's constant, you know. I think Mike White's doing that at Georgia now. You know, I just, these SEC teams, Vanderbilt's doing it, Mark Byington. And that's unfortunate. Because a lot of these programs, guys, you know, they were no better than Carolina. Inconsistent. So that's what you got to do. You got to be consistent. The guy, and I've said it all the time, the guy that gets it done is going to be the guy that goes to not just 1 or 2 straight NCAA tournaments. You know, he's in 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5. And I thought Frank Martin would be that guy because that was his track record at Kansas State. But it's still, that's the other part of it. It's still hard to recruit here, you know, in the traditional sense. And even with money, you got to kind of overpay. My question about it is, what if you'd had NIL and because of the Final Four, everybody gave Frank got a bunch of money to go spend.
Yeah, to go buy himself.
Dozier stayed because he was making money and they could go get guys from the portal. Would he have kept it rolling? Probably. Okay. So he's a very good coach. Very good coach. At the end of the day, the guy was a very good coach. I don't know what UMass's situation is now. Somebody may bring that up, but I think Frank Martin's a hell of a coach. Mm-hmm. Marion goes, there are so many games we're competitive in, yet we're inconsistent. Yeah, even within this basketball team this year. So they're playing, yes, last night. Kentucky, by the way, I don't know if you guys felt this way. I thought Kentucky played like ass. Excuse my language. A-double-S.
It was an uninspired performance.
It looked like they gave a flip. And then they just turned it on at the end. So, but – Rod, it's weird, and I think last year's team probably in another league had enough talent to go to be a tournament team, you know, just based on how they matched up with certain really good teams. I mean, They only won two conference games, but they should have beaten Auburn at home. Auburn was in the Final Four. They should have beaten Florida at home. They won the national championship. They just kind of choked in big moments and had a lot of guys that kind of played selfishly, in my opinion, and no guard play. But in another league, I think they would have been fine. This year's team really struggles. I mean, this year's team, when they've played power competition, it's noticeable that you never really feel like they match up well. You know, they're going to have to let the other team's going to have to do it, you know, either Carolina's got to be red hot from outside, like they were building the lead at LSU and like they were against Mississippi State, or the other team needs to be kind of uninspired. And Carolina still needs to shoot well, like against Oklahoma. Those are the games they've won. The closer games they've lost, I've never felt like they were good enough to win. Never sat there. Virginia Tech, maybe. Yeah. So that's the deal there. Matthew says, that's why I don't think it's all Lamont's fault. If he was close in so many games with these players, it's not all coaching. But he did pick these players. But even the high money teams have bust. Yeah, I mean, I think the roster construction needs to be better. I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. And it's not all money, in my opinion. But that's, you can correct that. Number one, you can correct it with money pretty quick. But number two, you know, you got to maybe look at things a little different. And I think, too, that, you know, having backup plans for things that may or may not happen would be prevalent. Cat with a gat. Welcome in. I noticed that before. You can't buy alcohol and anger on Sunday still, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Oh, man. Matt brings this up. Amari Fountain, on his own three profile, has him only 12.9% likely to come to Carolina, even though he's committed. Think we'll lose him, especially now with this big jump. Yeah, he's an out-of-state guy from Georgia. Probably. I mean, and I'm not going to say that. Maybe Carolina holds on to him. But it was kind of like that kid last year, Peyton. What's his name? Was it Peyton Dunbar? Somebody like that was committed to the Gamecocks early from Duluth. He was also a corner and then decommitted. But, yeah, Charles Power thinks a lot of him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of him. So, Roger said, I noticed Aiden Gibson got offer number 23 from Wake Forest, listed now as 4 stars on some sites. Sure, not sure what the composite ranking is. Still hope for Carolina to be a spot. Jade is, has another take on the Paris thing. Bringing Paris back will be a waste. I've seen too many games under Paris where this team showed no effort, not just this season, but every season, that didn't have Talon at point guard. Peyton Dyer, the guy's name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes you're right. No effort. Sometimes Lamont's mad about the effort after the game, if you listen to him. I don't know. All right, so here's the thing. I don't disagree with you at all, Jade is. And I'm not pro retention nor pro firing. Whatever decision they make, the one thing I care about is what are you going to do administratively for whoever the coach is? Because you can't just do the same old thing, same old plan, and expect to compete. You may as well blow it up and start over if you can.
Right. Yeah. You're getting outspent.
Or de-emphasize it. Yeah. Just take the $3 million profit that it automatically makes on TV money and say, well, we're not going to try to win. Just admit it, you know, but you better admit it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's that there. You know, the effort thing, my question on that would be in general, what college basketball team gives a bunch of effort every night in and night out? I'm sure some exist. But these guys are all getting paid. And unlike pro football, where you can turn on an NFL game, you know, because these are still young people and there's examples that are being set, right? You turn on an NFL game between the Jets and the Raiders late in the year, and they're battling it out, and, you know, to see which team gets the higher draft pick, right? And they're flying around the field hitting people. You know why? In the NFL, your contract is not guaranteed. They can fire you at any time. You have to make the team to get your money. And those guys that are sitting there on bad teams, they're still playing because, you know, it's in their best interest too. Because if you loaf or don't worry about it, you're not going to get paid. You're not going to be able to feed your family.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, in football, if you don't try at least a little, you're going to get your head knocked off. You're going to break your jaw if you're just standing there loafing. Basketball, what's the example? Load management?
Tanking, right.
Yeah. All this stuff they talk about at the NBA level. So why wouldn't the kids do it? They're and in college, you're getting paid anyway. You know, and that's not to mention that we're going on about 25 years of AAU basketball, which has damaged the competitiveness of some of these guys. So, J-Diz, I agree with you. But I don't – are there coaches out there? And you look at even guys like Mick Cronin, his teams normally play extremely hard. And they've started winning again because they started trying again. But – you know, look how frustrated he's been this year with everything. Look at Rick Pitino last year with those guys. You know, I mean, so I don't know. Playing hard, not showing effort. I don't know that that's relevant to Carolina. Ben says Darren Peterson's the king of load management. I'd kick him off the team if I were Bill Self. I'd say, we don't need you.
Yeah, what's done is done, right? I mean, I know – Self's out there talking, well, I mean, you know, our all of our plans have him involved in them. I'm like, well, you're doing okay with him off the court, so, you know,
yeah,
do it without him on the court.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, and it's like, and his dad had some comments, some analogy that made no sense. Anyway, I'm like, look, if you want to go pro, more power to you. Right?
Yeah.
I honestly think that's what a lot of, you know, in college athletics, everybody wants everything, right? I'm almost to the point where you just say, hey, and it would take collectively everyone doing this. If you want to go pro, go. And if you have a problem with the NBA's collective bargaining agreement, you need to sue them or the NFL because they're the ones keeping you from going pro.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's crazy.
God, that one and done is, you know, Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl media podium. I'm just here so I
don't get fined. I think in basketball it'd probably do the game better if they went back to the whole, like, just like when Garnett and O'Neal and Kobe, LeBron, all those guys went directly to the pros.
Yeah, right out of high school. Yeah, either do that or make it do it like football, where you got to put 3 years in.
That wouldn't, yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. The NBA wouldn't want that because you got players then that you're ready to be all-stars that the kid are still in college.
Yep.
But that'd be a good rule for the sport. What I think, though, basketball just used to be like baseball. Just be like, all right, you want to go pro, you go pro. And then you have a cutoff, you know, and say, this is the cutoff. Of course, then what happens if, so what I would do to avoid like eligibility lawsuits, because what's going to happen is somebody's going to go pro and think they're getting drafted, and then they don't, and then they're not even a G leaguer. And they're going to want to come back to college because they're pretty good in college. Mm-hmm. So what I would do is say, all right, you can retain your eligibility if you don't sign, right? It's all good. You know, if you take money or you sign, you're done. But if you don't, you can still come to college. There's really no hard deadline. And that's a compromise everybody's going to have to make, I think. But they won't fix it. They'll stay with the one and dones because – the networks probably want those players to be featured. It's all about money and TV money, right, Phil?
That's exactly it. That's what feeds the beast.
Yeah. It's money. Money, money, money. You don't need a whole lot of money to go eat at D's Wings. I told you about the feast that my stepson had the last time he ate at D's Wings. Said it was the best food ever in the Ultraverse. I think my man had a double appetizer and an entree. And I think my other kid had a double entree because he took boxes back. And we all got we got wings and apps for the table, too.
I remember when I used to eat like that without, you know, a consequence.
When I was 20, yeah, I could eat anything I wanted. I think our bill was $80. So, yeah, not bad for a family of four and two big eaters, gigantic eaters. So get thee to D's Wings. There's ample parking out. Apple parking. Here we go again, Phil.
Apple parking.
I'm messing up words today. Yeah, ample parking, beautiful part of West Columbia, D's Wings. It is today's the day for the special, Phil. Tell us what it is.
Yes, it is 18 wings and a pitcher of beer, all for the low of $29.
Absolutely.
Head on in to D's Wings.
Head on over to D's. Get you a big old mess of wings before the baseball game tonight over at Founders. And tell them that we sent you the show.
Yeah.
Tell them Mad Dog and JC from Points Unknown. Send thy greetings and message and tidings. Second hour of Wide Open Wednesday. We'll get back in the ITG chat box. Got some things to talk about we haven't talked about on the show yet. Namely, this briefly want to mention this NIL bill in the South Carolina State House they've been talking about. I was asked about it yesterday with Wild Bill. And just wanted to give you my take because I haven't really talked about it because it's sort of political, but it's not, you know, I'm just going to say what I think about it and get back to your questions right here. Wide Open Wednesday is the show.
Mike here from my good friend Troy Branham of Golden Gate Mortgage. Let's face it, it's been a rough go for mortgage rates the last couple of years. And now more than ever, you need someone on your side to get you the very best possible rate on a new mortgage or a refi. That's where Troy comes in. 27 years of experience working for you. Conventional, FHA, VA, USDA, renovation, rehabilitation loans, all doable with my man Troy Branham of Golden Gate Mortgage. And when I say doable, I mean the best possible rate that's out there. It's a phone call that can literally save you thousands of dollars. 803-238-0111. 803-238-0111. You can also check out the website ggmortgage.com.
Coffee, weekday mornings with JC Sherbert. Watch or listen on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube page, available on Apple and Spotify.
When you buy and sell your sports and fitness gear at Play It Again Sports, you support a local business. We pay our customers for their quality used sports and fitness gear, and resell it, recycling it back into your community. Support local, score savings. Play It Again
Sports! So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I like to help people that are injured as a result of somebody else's negligence or in a workers' compensation matter, get back to normal. That's where my passion is. But what I want everyone out there to understand is more important to me is that I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit westlawfirmsc.com.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture presents our coverage of South Carolina baseball and softball. Visit palmcasual.com today. Make your outdoor space the best it can be. Go Gamecocks! Visit GamecockTraditions.com and get your gear today. They'll ship it to your doorstep. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Second hour of the show here on a Wide Open Wednesday. I'm going to take a look at a piece of NIL legislation that is... How far has it gotten? I'm trying to figure that out in the House.
They tech tabled it the other day. So they did. Okay. I'll be brief about this. I want to get back to the chat box. And also, anybody catch some of the SEC baseball scores yesterday?
Yeah, tough night to be a top six team in the SEC last night in the midweek.
Jeff asked if his post disappeared. Which post, Jeff?
I haven't deleted any, Jeff, so if it did, it was a Google hiccup.
Yeah, just repost it. We'll get to it,
bro. Yeah, throw it
away. Don't worry, Jeff. You're one of the good guys.
Yeah, we're not shadow banning you or anything.
We're not shadow banning Jeff. okay, so what they're trying to do is pass a bill, basically, that keeps the rev share money private. Okay, and you guys heard me talk about this, and so I was asked. Bill was like, and Bill and I were on the same page with it. Part of me thinks I'm very curious to read. I mean, I know a lot of the numbers. I don't know every one of them, but I know a lot of them. But you got to look at it from a strategic standpoint. So basically succeeding in this era has had a lot to do with your state government around the country, right? The state of Tennessee has helped Tennessee volunteer football and by association Vanderbilt quite a lot with the way they've pushed the envelope legally. Same with Texas, same with Florida. I mean, you know, even in like Illinois, they had a too restrictive of a law and they changed it. So your state law and lawmakers have a lot of importance when it comes to this. Okay. If South Carolina does this, it is going to damage Clemson, South Carolina, Coastal, everybody else's ability to compete. And you may be like, why, JC? Why? It's just information. Well, number one, everybody's not spending the same thing. That's A. And why are they not spending the same thing? Because a lot of it's outside NIL. Heck, a lot of it because they haven't all signed the College Sports Commission thing yet. A lot of it's just, I mean, SMU literally said publicly, we just got a $50 million donation to fund paying student athletes. It's not supposed to come from booster money. Okay.
No, supposed to be able to crowdfund
it. Yes, like it is. But, you know, so if it's South Carolina alone, and, you know, our state's made some decisions, been on their own before, and it, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. I mean, I don't know. I think the mini bottle law, when they were the only state, was actually pretty much, it was pretty okay.
I didn't mind.
In many ways, it was. No pun intended.
That's right.
But, you know, some other decisions that we've made as a state throughout history hadn't worked out so well. So, I don't think that South Carolina needs to be the transparent, you know, tote the transparency banner here, considering it's not like this is a state where everything's totally always transparent. So why is that, JC? Well, because here it's partially because, and I've mentioned before, fans that overreact to it and want to bring up the money. That happened with Lenore Sellers last year quite a bit. It's unfortunate. It does nothing but hurts your program. But I've just come to the realization that there are people out on social media that, yeah, because of the algorithm, they don't really understand. I think sometimes that what they put out there, nobody reads it. Nobody cares. Mm. But who does read it sometimes is when you tweet it directly at a player as the player. And, you know, I wouldn't want my star quarterback to have the mental distraction to believe that the entire fan base based on three idiots was mad because he was making money. You know, that's going to cause me to get in the portal, but it didn't. He stayed. So, I mean, you know, maybe smarter than I think. That's very secondary to like where we're at though now strategically. So number one, you don't get a clear picture. In other words, if you've got a list of all the Carolina players, you may have, you know, it's out there that so-and-so got $2 million, right? That rev share number may be 25,000. And you have a bunch of morons that run these. No, they're not morons. They're not, people call them influencers. I think they're just engagement farmers would be a pretty positive term, like at college football on Instagram. 8 times out of 12, they put something up there that's woefully inaccurate, that's stupid. that just like makes no sense, but they grab that Instagram account at college football. So people are going to follow it. And so the people like that on Instagram, on X, whatever, even the people at the Athletic and the media, they're going to take those numbers and they're going to say, oh, South Carolina is not paying this guy, but this, but that's not true, because how they worked the deal was, yes, you're getting this, but you get this in outside NIL. Okay, so it's really worth this. There is no way the state of South Carolina, the Roman Empire, the European Union, the Pope, you know, Saddam Hussein's ghost, whoever you want to get to try to get that information, nobody can make them disclose private NIL deals. But you're going to have people that parrot that and put out a narrative that South Carolina and Clemson underpay, when really it's pretty similar to what everybody else is doing. But you can't get the bigger number or the smaller number.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the fact that a lot of the fans, you know, that pull for the Gamecocks, you know, some of our friends on Facebook that continuously fall for the AI bots. I mean, I think somebody else died. Like, my wife fell for it the other day.
Oh,
what's
no.
wrong with Steve Spurrier? There was this AI bot that put up the Steve Spurrier's family's gathered around and sad. Well, nothing. Not a damn, you know. They don't pay any attention. I mean, it's not they don't pay attention. They just don't know. They don't care. They just pull for Carolina, you know. So then they're going to see that and be like, well, why in the heck are you paying this offensive guard this much and our quarterback only makes this much? And that's going to be what they talk about at church and the water cooler and the bar and the golf course and everywhere else. So you create this narrative that you have to deal with, that when you don't really have the school can't sit there and go, well, no, that's not true, because this is how much outside NIL, because you can't disclose that. Okay. So you're going to get, and so let's enter the chat. The agents have entered the chat. These people, they don't care to investigate things either. All they're going to hear about when you get 10 schools is they're going to look on Instagram and at college football and see that South Carolina or Clemson's woefully underpaying, because everybody wants to put the rev share money numbers everywhere. They're not even going to think to call Carolina and ask them. They're just not going to pick up the call from the portal. It's going to cause high school guys not to visit.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't pay enough out there. I'm not going down there. Yeah.
Because we're not far enough along in this yet to where people get it. And a lot of people don't really care to get it. So part of it, when you talk about competitiveness, has to do with the way people at large consume information. All of us know. We all know. But when you have to spend so much time and energy and all that, and then people still aren't going to get it. And so that's why it would put the South Carolina schools at a disadvantage, is because of the information and the fact that right now, even though there's some ridiculous, stupid, wrong numbers out there already, right now, the nature of how the true deals are put together aren't like a salary, like you look at the salaries of an NFL roster. It's not going to come across that way. It's not going to be reported that way. And so there are some strategic things that play into it. I also think this, I think there's a question that I don't have an opinion on either way. Part of me believes that fundamentally, college athletics are at a state-supported institution is a public asset. That's why this private equity talk is a little bit absurd to me, and I don't know that legally it would stand. You know, that's why I think you should make some cheap tickets here and there for the people in your state. That's why I think you should recruit your state. I mean, all that. I think that still is a factor. If you want to privatize all of it, break it off. But then you're going to owe the state of South Carolina, I mean, all of us money, right?
Yeah.
Because that's ours, right? Or my family's. And I guess when I move back there, it'll be mine.
Yeah.
I've paid enough taxes in South Carolina. But, so part of me does agree with that part of it, right? That it's still public and all that. But the question becomes like, okay, but what about student privacy? Now, I think you can get on the state, you know, of South Carolina's salary database and see what teacher assistants are making and things like that, Phil. I think I think you could find that out. So I don't know, you know, how is this different from that standpoint? I think that's why they're trying to pass a law, because it's a carve out basically. And I don't mind it being carved out for strategic reasons. And, you know, you do things all the time with information for strategic reasons in business, politics, sports, wherever. So I get it. So that's why I think they need to pass the law. Matthew says that they've been posting some updates from it today. The legislators don't seem to get it. Harrison said our state kind of invented doing things on your own from a state standpoint. Yeah. Will says, I'm all for rev share being public. If every school's is public, I'm with you. Yeah, it's fine with me. Having yours public while most others private seems like a huge disadvantage. Yeah, people have to understand that. Matthew says any state employee with a salary over $50,000 is public. You know, and then I don't know that these aren't salaries. So
now, that's the other thing, is that there is nothing right now that compels them to have to disclose these numbers, because they are technically not employees of the state.
Yeah.
One of the downsides to this law is that a broader interpretation of it, at least from a judicial perspective, could be that if you're having to hide it, then it is a tacit acknowledgement that student athletes are actually employees of the state, because you would then have to be compelled through a FOIA request to have to produce those numbers.
Here's my thing about it. I mean, and I think this is probably the grand compromise, is that you don't. So can you FOIA itemize scholarship cost?
See, that's the other thing, because from my understanding is it public budgets are accessible, right? But you don't necessarily have to know that they spent a specific dollar amount from a discretionary amount on a budget line to a specific end company, right?
Like, yeah. You spend money recruiting, like, and it all goes in a recruiting budget.
Yeah,
like,
it's in the recruiting budgetary line.
We can't sit there and look up, well, Beamer took the jet to North Dakota three times and stuff like that. You know, we don't know that information. So what I would do is say, look, this is money that's budgeted as for the players, and the coaches actually divvy it up, and it's up to them to do it. And they're not employees, because they're not. That's the NCAA says that. And this is how much we spent in rev share on this sport, that sport, and the other sport. And then that information being public is not going to be, it's still going to be potentially damaging, because if you're short in football, some schools, Phil, and not Carolina, but there you're going to get that. If it was for like this past year, you're going to get that rev share number, and it's going to be zero for football and men's basketball, because they front loaded 100% of it.
Right.
Zero. Now,
the other side of that is, could you creatively use your collective as a shield for that?
No, and not that, with rev share.
Yeah,
rev
right. Share, has Rev to come directly to the from
university. Yeah. Now the collectives do, like Garnet Trust cut $20 million worth of deals last year for Carolina student athletes. But no, you can't. That's how they used to do the collective, like before they passed rev share. That was exactly how they did it. And that's how they front loaded everything, because the collectives were sitting on money that they had to spend, or, you know, whatever. So it's a mess. I don't think South Carolina needs to be heroes about it. And I understand there's some of my friends that probably work in, you know, journalism that believe, you know, this is the right thing to do. I don't. And I have.
Well, whoever, you know, wrote the state article, you could definitely tell just by the headline where they lean.
What did it say?
I just clicked off of it, but it used the word hide. Can they hide the numbers, right? It's like, no, it's not hiding the numbers, right?
Yeah. Well, come on. I hope if they don't pass the law and they are hiding the numbers that they get the numbers, that at least I would hope they're not stupid with how they report it.
Right.
Because I guarantee you there are some stupid people that are pushing for this that will stupidly report it.
That will put itemized everything out there and only put the worst.
And not with no context whatsoever. Yeah, right. With
no context.
You know, and now that's not, I would hope that wouldn't be Jordan. That's not my guy, David Cloninger. He's a pro, but there are other people that aren't. Oh, and then think about the people like if Mark Ryan were still in the state, like what he would do. Oh, he'd go line item comparing Clemson and Carolina and act like, you know, who wins this? Who's spending more here, there, and the other? Zero context. Look, I'm telling you, the reality of it, I thought journalism was supposed to be about reporting facts and educating the public and presenting facts. Now it just, journalism now, folks, sometimes seems like it's about the journalist, like how necessary they are to society when they're just pushing their own agenda.
Yeah.
Well, we can all push our own agendas. Hell, it's 2026, you know? So I don't know. I think it's bad for the state if you do that. That's the dumbest possible thing. They need to pass the law. You know, I saw where some state legislators were talking to, they get caught up in things like the amount. And it's the same thing when like the board of trustees, Dick Harpootlian, this is how, you know, I don't hate the guy. I mean, at all, but this was how off base the conversation publicly he had when he ridiculed the board of trustees at Carolina about athletics was. He was griping about coaching buyouts. You know, you realize the University of South Carolina has paid a grand total of one coaching buyout, one in football since 1998. I would be curious to look at the numbers for the other schools in the SEC during that time. I mean, Clemson hasn't either, because Clemson's had coaching stability with Dabo Swinney. They had to pay Tommy Bowden money to go away. But they were all up in arms about the 12 million over 30 years for football coaching buyouts. You know, even if you throw in Frank's money, 15, 16, it's 18 million in buyouts over 30. Yeah, come on.
Who is somebody? This is coming from a specific FOIA request. There is a FOIA request out there right now for this information from what they call a citizen. So I wonder who
it's one of those people. This guy does a lot of FOIAs, which is his right as an American citizen. I don't have a problem with it. You just need to pass a law and shut him down. That's it. Bottom line.
Yeah.
And I would be curious to see what, I mean, this is not, and look, if you feel like you're right to have this information, when no other state in America does this, right? You're right as South Carolinian, supersedes the good or the benefit of what the rest of us care about, which is Clemson and Carolina competing in football. If you feel like that's the case, I respect it, but this is a representative democracy, constitutional republic that we live in, and the majority rules in most cases. So, and the majority, I would hope, just want what's best, and you know, they can figure it out. You want a big compromise, just put the budget out for the different programs. You know, what are you spending for sport? What are you cutting up for sport? That's fine.
You know, and I mean, that's revenue stream that's not, you know, specifically appropriated from taxpayer dollars, the right of anybody's to know, regardless of who the steward of that money is, right? I mean, we all know that the school is getting distributions from the conference for, you know, from the networks, for being on television.
Yeah, and ticket sales. Yeah. There's no taxpayer money that goes into athletics.
No, right. So it was like, I don't understand. Yeah, why?
You know, and that may be a dumb. If whoever's out there saying it's taxpayer money.
Well, this is Senate dumb. Majority Leader Massey is concerned. He was like,
the concern
is whether there is state appropriated funds and tuition funds that are being transferred into an athletic department revenue account. Then there's money from that revenue account being used to pay players. Well, you know what? I don't either, because rev share is specifically tied to.
You can't use student
broadcast money. Rights yeah. and
according
money
to the rules. You yeah. have it's all right. So what it is? It's tickets. Anything the players. So you got to look at it like. You got to look at it like they're actors, right? Actors. So tickets that involves your actors. You can give them money out of the tickets. Merch sales, if they sell their jersey or even a jersey, okay. Well, we're selling a lot of merch. Tom Hanks could get, sell a Woody doll from Toy Story. Tom Hanks could get a piece of it theoretically in a contract. TV money, their own television. You're using their name, image, and likeness to do that. Anything their name, image, and likeness is on that you get money from, you can give that. That's part of it. What you can't do is booster money. Allegedly.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about outside NIL, but the rev share booster money, donations can't go for it. Any kind of general student activity fees and things like that, general funds, they don't. This is a cut of a specific bucket of revenue. So I don't know why. I don't know who assists him and lets him know about things when it comes to sports. This isn't the first time he's just had a ridiculously dumb opinion on the University of South Carolina.
Yeah, well.
I don't know who advises him, but whoever does, hit me up. I'll be glad to educate you on the situation. Because you're probably going to – I know you're probably going to get reelected regardless, but you're going to piss off a lot of people if this goes through. All right, so – enough of that. Enough of that. Let's take a break. I hate even getting into that stuff, but I haven't mentioned it, and it could be significantly bad for Clemson and Carolina both if it happens. And we're the only dumb butts out there that's doing it. By the way, I think. I sent it at 1:15 Eastern time.
Yeah, we already got it.
Yeah. I thought I sent it at 1:15. Yeah, I got to readjust my MailChimp. I sent it for MailChimp. Readjust that because I got messed up. See, I got some responses. Nathan, Ribo, they all chimed in. Got a text in from Bradford, too. He said 2023, 88% of the big innings. Again, a big inning is three or more runs. Had at least one walk or hit by pitch. 88%. That's insane. Yeah. And by the way, 2023 was, I think, the third best run scoring offense South Carolina's had since 2000. All the glory years.
Yeah. I don't know.
Got to get to walking, man.
Walking. I get a hit in softball last night. She was very disappointed. And
did she get a hit or a walk?
I was like, no, she walked every time she got up to the plate. I was like, good, make the pitcher throw extra. You got on base every time. Yeah. It's a single is as good. And that way, you didn't even have to run your ass off to try to beat the throw. They just gave it to you. So don't be disappointed. You got on base.
Yeah, I agree. No doubt. All right. We'll be back after this to wrap it up on the show.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar. Representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. West westlawfirmsc.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need RestoPros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Clowns are people too. Clowns are people too. Now I own some tiny horns and got me those red shoes. I don't know much, but know one thing that's true. If you don't know anything, just know that clowns are people too.
Now back to the clowns on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a wide open Wednesday, which means we get to hop into the chat box and let your voice be heard. It looks like Jeff was giving a Ric Flair 77-year-old happy birthday woo to out of everybody. That might have been what he thought disappeared from the chat box. We would never, under any circumstances, Jeff, deny or silence anyone trying to give Ric Flair some birthday shout out. So happy birthday to Ric Flair, 77 years old. JC is engrossed in some serious phone conversation right now, but that's okay. We are back and he is back now, and it's okay.
Yeah, my bad.
No, you're fine, man. We kept it rolling.
Respond to a tweet on the subject. So.
We were just wishing Ric Flair a happy 77th birthday.
Ooh, yeah, I did miss that, Jeff. I had it right at the tip of my tongue, and I think we went to break or something like that. So, anyway, T.D. Nolmich is getting a new governor. Intrigued to see who it will be. I don't know who it will be. I know some of the candidates. I don't have an opinion on it yet. So there's that. Matt says performance-based pay so they can earn their money, not be paid to be a bust. Yeah, that's another thing of like the NCAA and the colleges not wanting to admit what it is. Does not pay for play. It's for their name, image, and likeness. So. Now, you could say that if you don't play well, your value of your name, image, and likeness on television goes down. Nobody's really thought of that, right? So, let's get on this. Bryce chimes in. I hope Beamer and Browse can instill more leadership traits into Lenoris this offseason. You know, I've heard a lot of people say about this, and I think sometimes you try to force that, and it makes he needs to be comfortable, right? I don't care if he's a vocal leader or yells or not. Connor Shaw was not a very vocal leader, right? He led by example and led. And I think when you talk about Lenora Sellers and leadership, Bryce, the best thing he can do, the best leadership he can show is what he did against Missouri and Clemson last year in 2024.
Yeah.
Drive the, get the, put the team on your back, get down the field, score. That's leadership. You know, I don't know that a pregame pep talk like Demetrius Knight gave or whatever coming from Lenoris is in his comfort zone. If it's not, that's fine too. Just needs to go be comfortable, play loose, and get it done. Right. Get your guys lined up on offense, things like that. You know, the quarterback has to have some leadership qualities in and of itself. So I agree with you more, but more leadership traits for me are going to come from him playing well and making things happen and leading the team down the field. Ethan says, who do we see being the vocal leaders in football for 2026? I don't know. Some of the guys they brought in from the portal play with an edge on the offensive line, according to Beamer. You know, I kind of like Quasheed Scott's moxie a little bit as far as the new guys go. Returning players, you know, who are you going to see out there? Could a Matt Fuller step up in a leadership role? Maybe.
Yeah. Be interesting.
Fred Johnson on defense. Is
I was thinking, backers. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Clayton White said last year Fred Johnson was adapting some of those traits. Yeah, I think a guy like Peyton Williams will be a leader for your team. Judge Collier in the secondary. Dylan Stewart is a quieter guy, but certainly can lead by example.
Yeah, anytime any of these players that are going to emerge from what fall camp, I think it is, when they give the permanent captain status for the season. Those are the guys you're looking for. Obviously, I mean, Lenoris is kind of going to be at the top of that list just by virtue of the fact that he has been here and has, you know, and is the quarterback, even if he's not the most vocal leader on the sideline.
Yeah, Brady Hunt has those qualities.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's an older guy. Nick Harbor. You know, there's a lot of possibilities.
That was interesting. Nick, I thought, was an interesting option there too. I'm like, I wonder if he kind of comes out and says, you know, all right, this year I've done it. I'm good enough, right? Because that's the other side. It's like nobody wants to hear any of that crap from somebody who's not producing.
Spurrier used to say that. He'd be like, we had these guys out here, and like they'd be all yelling and screaming and stuff, and they're the third team. He's like, I just said, hey, man. Maybe you need to calm down a little bit. We don't need you yelling out here. You're third team. Spurrier. That's true, though. Now, sometimes when if you're a young team or something like that, there are situations the last few years where guys that don't play a whole lot have shown leadership. Luke Doty, very valuable.
Yeah.
I thought that Davis Bevel of 2024, of all people, was – tremendous helping with Lenoris and the quarterbacks and being a leader, you know. Last year on the field, I thought the offense was a little lost leadership wise. I think that
it looked like it.
I think on defense, Nick Barrett really did a fantastic job, and Jalen Kilgore when he got healthy. I think Brandon Cisse showed some of those qualities as well. DQ Smith obviously is a veteran. But Nick Barrett was kind of the heart and soul. You know, that's a guy that was his fifth year. You didn't hear much. You didn't hear leader and Nick Barrett in the same sentence. So these guys emerge. Kreger says Swain. So TD says,
you think a quarterback, a cornerback rather, is being like the big leader guy, right? I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen, but my perception is that
some of them are, some of them aren't. You know,
yeah.
And I've seen it work both ways. TD says, do you think Lenoris will become more vocal? And if so, do y'all think it'll translate better than someone else? I don't think he needs to. I would rather him focus on the play, get everybody lined up, you know, now on the flip side of that, hopefully there's not all this crap they're trying to do. I mean, there was some talk that Lenoris maybe wasn't talking loud enough so the line could get the checks. And I think the center, Boaz, said that. Somebody said that. So I think Beamer said it, you know. So maybe you need to get a little more louder with your calls and stuff. If that's an issue, yeah, you need to do that. You know, be a clear and concise communicator. But you don't have to be all rah-rah. In fact, the quarterback needs to settle in and play.
Yeah.
Right? Play with energy, have that energy and stuff like that. So yes and no is the answer to your question. So Krager said Swain's gonna be busy. I was thinking about that today. Yeah, that guy's gonna play a lot of corner and return kicks. Bryce says, one of the points I was trying to make is I feel like we've had our quarterback really take the reins, we've excelled. Not saying he doesn't have leadership, just more confidence under the Brown system. Yeah, that you nail on the head, Bryce. I think that's part of the intelligence of getting your Kendall Browse in is this is not a complicated system to learn. It's funny because pro style offenses at the college level, when they do them more like the pros, look very simple. They are complicated to execute. Offenses like Kendall Browse look very complicated, but they are simple to execute.
Very simple, yeah, fundamentals.
It's funny how that works out, right?
Well, and it's like there's different leadership styles too, right? Like from Lenora Sellers or a quarterback's perspective, like a mastery of the game plan and playbook and executing that at a masterful level is a form of leadership, especially at that position for the guy who touches the ball every time.
Yeah, get him. Yeah. Your center. Hey, another guy, forgot to mention him on the offensive line just because we'll see who comes out of the battle royale for the O-line. But Carter Miller could be a guy too.
Yeah.
The center needs to have some leadership qualities. You know, you can ask Strickland about that, you know, because a lot of times he's the one. Vershawn Lee was a good leader. Eric Douglas was a really good leader. The two that preceded last year's center situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another guy to circle. But TD says he'd love to see some Swain gadget plays under Browse. He knows how to catch football, could make a difference in a game. Yeah. One thing, and I don't know if they're going to let Vicari play offense. One thing, I mentioned this yesterday, Cole Kublik was saying about Kendall Browse, and he's right. If you have guys that can do something really well, he's going to find a way to get on the ball and make it impact the game. Now, they've been very hesitant at Carolina under Beamer to switch guys, play guys, unless you're like a defensive lineman. They'll throw you on offense in a heartbeat.
No, yeah.
But, you know, they've been kind of hesitant to do that with some of the star defensive players, but unless you're a defensive lineman, like I said. And most of the time that's on special teams. But I think I'd love to see it too. Get the ball in his hands and see what happens. But he's an explosive player, obviously very elusive, great feet. So I would love it as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think Lenoris will be fine. I think the big key for him is get comfortable, get the offense second nature, get everybody lined up. Pimple on a Blimp says Sellers won't be more vocal. Any vocal leader starts as soon as they hit the field. Sometimes. When they're very young. DJ Swearinger, I think, took to his second year. That's a vocal leader. That's a big-time vocal leader, that guy. Mm-hmm. So it's still his second year. He's a young guy. So we'll see kind of what happens. But I don't think Lenoris has to be more vocal. Like, he doesn't need to be like, you know, given the pregame pep talk, focused on the game plan and stuff. But, you know, there's different guys that can do that. I hope to see it, you know, and I'm not trying to make light of the fact that, you know, maybe the leader, there wasn't a ton of veteran leadership on this team. And I think it's part of the reason they went and got older guys in the portal. So Bryce says exactly, Phil, and when everyone sees that out of Lenoris, it'll elevate the entire team. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
Well, we're cutting about 10 minutes early here today, but I've got somewhere I got to be. I just found out it wasn't at 1:15 my time. It's at 1 o'clock, so I'm going to be late.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we got to get there on time. Hold on. Let's
fire. TD Null says, I'd love to see Mo Brown as a fullback. That's coming. I think he'll play H-back. We may open up the chat box on Friday. It may be a free-for-all Friday, by the way, because Matt Anderson's not going to be here.
Man, I like that.
Let's do a free-for-all Friday. I can go ahead and I'll go ahead and put that on the schedule.
Yeah, free-for-all Friday.
Be who are, this ain't any given Sunday. Play will dictate his teammates' response. That's a great speech, Al Pacino. We're in hell, gentlemen. Crawl with your fingernails. That's life. And I was jamming to this song earlier. The Guess Who is an underrated band. Well, you
totally
don't even realize how many hits they have. Like American Woman, that's their song.
Yeah.
You don't think about the Guess Who, but they are very underrated. Big Slammajama salutes us. We salute you, Big Slammajama.
You too, sir. That's right.
Thanks for tuning in on Free For All Friday. Don't forget InsideTheGameCast.com for the newsletter. Jamie's very good baseball article has been sent out. So if you didn't quite sign up now on the at Gamecock Show X account, I'm going to tweet it out and the link to it to where you can go read it. And then just hit that subscribe button.
And I'll drop it in the chat here too.
And Phil's going to drop it in the chat box for you as well. So be sure to do that. Big Slammajama said he's just been working. Big Slammajama's always got something awesome to say. It's awesome. So there you go. There's the link right there in the ITG chat box.
My mom pipes in. The Guess Who was the first ever concert she attended.
Nice.
There's a text. Yeah. Nice.
Jam to that, right?
Oh, at the Greenville Memorial.
At the Greenville Memorial
Auditorium. Wow. Or right. As she put, BBB, Big Brown Box.
For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax. For Mad Dog's mom, Cindy. Nice woman. Yeah, follow her on Instagram. She always got some pretty flowers for me to like. For all of you out there, for JB, for Santa Claus, for state legislature, pray that they do the right thing. And for all of our sponsors, we thank you for joining us today on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We're back tomorrow, bright and early with coffee. We will holla at you later. Thanks for listening.